السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is my sixth lecture on the topic of Tawheed and Trinity. In some of the lectures, I think I've been saying Tawheed versus Trinity, but really it is about Tawheed and Trinity, because this is a discussion of these two concepts. And of course, from a Muslim perspective, how do we refute the concept of the Trinity? In the Quran, Allah says in chapter 5, verse 74, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةٌ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِن لَّمْ يَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ لَيَمَسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. This is chapter 5, verse 74. It means they are surely disbelievers who say Allah is the third of three. There is no God but the one God. And if they do not desist from what they say, a grievous punishment shall surely befall those of them that disbelieve. So really, I mean, this whole subject revolves around this verse of the Holy Quran, which is saying that God is one. Make no confusion, God is one. Make sure you understand that. Now, when we look at, we were looking at the concept of the Trinity and two arguments in my previous lecture that can refute the Trinity. One argument was that this is against reason. The human mind cannot understand how can there be three in one. Right, especially if these are not three smaller gods that combined make one God. They are three completely gods, like each one of them. God the Son is God completely. God the Holy Spirit is God completely. And God the Father is God completely. And we dwelled on this subject last time, and so I don't want to get into that again. But just to revise, this is the first argument that has been made by the promised Messiah, Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad alayhi salam. And just to remind you, we are taking these arguments from a thesis, unpublished thesis, of Ataul Mujib Rashid Sahib. It's entitled Qasr-e Salib. So we're following that. We're currently somewhere around page 132 or 33, where he's giving these arguments that refute the Trinity based on the writings of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. So that was one argument. And the other argument was that this is against human nature. This is against human nature. The human mind, the human nature, always is in tune with the concept of one God. And we have talked about it in previous lectures. Again, I don't want to go back to it, but just to remind you. The third argument is, again, very similar to the arguments that have been made before, that this is also against nature in general. The concept of Tawheed is found in nature. We talked about it in an earlier lecture, where you look at anything in nature, it's spherical, it's round, by its shape, the universe represents one God, the concept of Tawheed. There is no triangular shapes. There are no triangular shapes in the universe. From the smallest drop of water to the largest planets and stars, they're all circular and spherical, which represents Tawheed. And that itself refutes the Trinity. That's a nature argument. It's a third argument that is noted in this thesis of Ataul Mujib Rashid Sahib. Now, I come to the fourth argument that I want to dwell on in this lecture, and that is a very simple argument. The argument is that Tawheed is something, oneness of God is something that is found in previous scriptures, right? God has taught that in the past, and Islam is also teaching the same thing. So that's why God is only one, right? Why would God not reveal his true sense, which is the Trinity, before Jesus? Before Jesus came, there were many, many prophets, hundreds of them, who came to, according to the Old Testament, to the people of the Israelites. Hundreds of prophets came, and they all talked about one God. They all talked about Tawheed. They did not talk about the Trinity, right? And here we have even Jesus talking about Tawheed. And we'll talk about that in a later lecture, but I quoted something in the previous lecture as well, where people come to Jesus and he says the same thing, one God. And only people later on, in later centuries, start talking about the Trinity. And later on, if I have the option opportunity, I'll talk about a little bit about the history of the church and how the concept of the Trinity truly came into existence. The word Trinity is a second century term. It did not exist in the first 70, 80, 90 years after Jesus. It wasn't there. It's a second century term. I think it's Tertullian or one of the historians or church fathers, as they're called, who talked about it. So coming back to the original point, and that is that the concept of the Tawheed is found in previous scriptures as well, whether you in previous religions as well. That's a bigger argument. But when it comes to our Christian friends, we try to show them that in the Torah, which is a teaching that came from God, it talks about one God. So I have some references if you wish to note them down. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5, this is the most important one. The Jews are given this basic teaching, right? And that is, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, right? Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, right? The Lord, our God, the Lord is one, Echad, one, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's an extension, but that's the first essential commandment. Now, it's in Deuteronomy. That's part of the Torah. What is the Torah? The Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament. That is the law of the Jews. The Torah is the law of the Jews. Of course, some other historical incidents are also there. But if I remember them correctly, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Right, I got four of them, but there's one more. So these are five books that are part of the Torah that contain the law for the Jews. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5 is very essential. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Then there's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. So acknowledge today and take to heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Right? It cannot get clearer than that. In Exodus, again, these are books part of the law, the Torah. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 5. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. There are other issues in this verse. I don't want you to dwell on them. Just focus on the part where God is emphasizing his oneness. Do not make an idol. Do not bow down to anything else. God is one. God is one. God is one. And so important, you know, the Jewish teaching of oneness of God was so important to them that they did not deviate from this. They are staunch, if I can use a word in Arabic, muwahhids, right? They are staunchly believers in the oneness of God, in the Tawheed, in the oneness of God. And you can talk to any Jewish scholar and they would say, yes, we are in 100% agreement when it comes to the oneness of God with Muslims. Muslims and Jews. There's one more, Isaiah. Isaiah is not part of the Torah, but it is a book by another prophet. It's attributed to another prophet, that is Isaiah. Again, there are a lot of things here. I don't want to talk about other topics. We don't know fully if this book is entirely from Isaiah, but whatever, right? The Jews believe that, the Christians believe that this book is from Isaiah. And it also says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. You know, in the Quran also, the attributes of God, Al-Awwal, Al-Akhir, there is no God. God is one. And just to quickly note here, in commentary of that verse of the Holy Quran, where God is called Awwal and Akhir, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First, may Allah have mercy on him and bless him, he says that Allah is Awwal and Akhir every day, right? So that itself, the day starts Allah is awal, the day ends, Allah is akhir. Allah is the beginning of every moment, end of every moment. So Allah is one, right? That's a very strong argument for the oneness of God. And this is supplemented. This is supplemented by a statement of Jesus as well. Why is the law important? Right? So the thing is that Christians cannot come and say, oh, this is the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament. I have the New Testament. These are theologically heavy terms as well. Right? They say that's old. Now we have something new. Right? And this is theological. This is theologically motivated. That's why a lot of scholars nowadays, they don't call Old Testament the Old Testament. They say this is the Hebrew Bible. Right? Because for Jews, it's still valid. For Muslims, there's a lot of things in the Jewish Bible, the Hebrew Bible, that I agree with. Deuteronomy 6:4, we just read it. We agree with that as Muslims. So for us, this should not be an Old Testament. This is, yes, it's in terms of its application, it's obsolete, but it is still valid in terms of some of his basic teachings, which agree with the Quran, right? And the Christians would say that we have the New Testament, so Old Testament is applied. Well, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 18, Jesus is talking about the law, and he says not a syllable of the law can be changed, not an iota of the law can be changed, right? I don't have the full verse in front of me, but this is what he's saying. He's saying this law is valid. The Torah is valid. Not a single iota, anything cannot be changed from this law. So if Jesus is going along with it, if Jesus is not calling it the Old Testament, if he's not saying this is old and obsolete, why should we, right, when it comes to this issue of the oneness of God? The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has made this argument in several of his books. He says, for instance, in one place, that when it comes to the concept of the Trinity, you can consult the sahifas, the manuscripts of the previous prophets, and you will not find the concept of the Trinity anywhere. And it should not be, because this is not the truth. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, specifically mentions the Torah in one place, that this teaching the Trinity is not found in the Torah. He says that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, wrote to different Jewish scholars, just to make sure. He wrote to well-known Jewish scholars and asked them, that do you know of a God who could have been born out of the womb of Mary and he would be beaten up by the Jews? Do you know of any such concept of a God who could be experiencing those things? And they said, no, we are absolutely in agreement when it comes to the concept of God as one God. We are totally in agreement with the Muslims. And so this kind of interaction, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, talks about it. This last quotation that I referred to is from Lecture Ludhiana. It's available in English as well. There is Essence of Islam. Some of the writings of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, have been translated into Essence of Islam. And there is a section about God in there as well. And it talks about Trinity as well. So you'll see some of these quotations there as well. If you want to read the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, sayings on these issues in English, right? So the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, for instance, one more quotation, he says that this is more than enough. This argument is more than enough. This particular argument that we talked about in this lecture is more than enough to refute the Christian concept of the Trinity, because their own books refute this concept, right? And we have talked about some references. So this is the third and fourth argument in refutation of the Trinity. And inshallah, we'll pick it up from here next time and look at other arguments, more arguments that refute the concept of the Trinity in future. Jazakumullah ta'ala.